And usually when it comes to the Meisim, I come with my Sefer, Svarim, stories. But tonight there's no Sefer, because tonight's stories pretty much exclusively come from stories which I heard from my Rebbe. This coming week, actually it's the following week, Ches Tammuz is the yard side of the Imre Noyam. Imre Noyam from Jikov. We've spoken a lot about the Rafshitz dynasty, beginning with the Rafshitzer. And then we didn't speak about all of his sons. We haven't spoken about any of his sons, really, but Rebbe Lazer Jikover. And Rebbe Lazer had illustrious sons, and one of them was Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir from Jikov. He assumed the Rabbanus after the Patir of his father. And he was brothers with the Rosh Hashanah, who we spoke about a few weeks ago. So we'll speak a little bit about the Imre Noyam. Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha. The Imre Noyam is called the Imre Noyam because of his Sefer, his Sfarim. On Shas, not on Shas, on Allah Taira and on the Moedim. We have it in this base medrash and other places. The Imre Noyam is two volumes, not a lot of Torahs which we have from him. However, his son-in-law, the Avos Yisrael from Vizhnitz, he said, I spent a year and a half by my shver in Jikov after I got married, and the amount of Torahs which I heard from him in that year and a half, you could write 10 Imre Noyams. You could have written 10 Imre Noyams. For some reason, he only put these Torahs down on a sefer. He wrote them himself. But he was a Mayan Hamas Gabra in Torah. He also wrote Childless and Chuvah Sfarim. He was a Mechutin with the Bichayim from Sanz. The son of the Imre Noyam, called Rebbe Aaron, was called the Beit Shirov. Married the daughter of the Bichayim. And once in a letter that the Divrei Chaim wrote defending the Kavod HaTorah of the Hasidim, people would say, and people still say, Hasidim don't know how to learn, they don't know how to learn. Always dancing and clapping and singing, they don't know anything about learning. So he wrote a letter in response to that. First of all, Divrei Chaim was poisek again. So he wrote back in the letter, and everybody held the Divrei Chaim as Mamasha. So he wrote back, he said, what do you mean? How could you say that we don't have, you know, Gdoilim, Poiskim? He says, what about the Tzemach Tzedek in Russia? The Bavitch Rebbe? What about the Chidush Arim in Poland? What about the Imre Noyam in Galicia? The Imre Noyam in Galicia. Called him a Goyin Mafulpo. Like he was a special type of a Goyin. Once, actually, the Divrei Chaim was sitting together with the Shoyer LeMeishiv, who was Poisek Ador, from the Misnagdim, Litvisher. And they were sitting together, and once the Imre Noyam walked into the room, and the Divrei Chaim notioned like a certain haratza for him, like as if he was getting up from his chair and the cover of the Imre Noyam. So the Shoyer LeMeishiv was taken aback by that, because the Divrei Chaim was the Poisek, he was the Tzaddik, and he showed such cover to the Imre Noyam. So it says that the Divrei Chaim, he grabbed his hand of the Shoyer LeMeishiv, and he says this person, a goyin, a tzaddik, and then he said, and he has the heiliger chachma, and he has the chachma of the heiliger rav, the chachma of the heiliger rav is the Rav Shitzer. If you go back to the stories we spoke about the Rav Shitzer, so the Divrei Chaim was a talmud of the Rav Shitzer, who was Imre Noyam's grandfather. And we spoke about the Chachma of Rav Shitz on different occasions. So the Divrei Chaim wouldn't even call himself a Talmud of the Rav Shitzer. He would only refer to the Rav Shitzer as the Rav, the Heiliger Rav. He didn't call himself a Talmud because he said, in order to call yourself a Talmud of somebody, you have to have a Hasag in the Rebbe. He says, I b'chlal don't have any Hasag in the Rav Shitzer whatsoever. It was a special Chachma of Rav Shitz, and he said about the Imre Noyam that he had the Chachma of Rav Shitz. He had the Chachma of Zeda, the Chachma of the Heiliger Rav. A Goyin, a Tzaddik, and the Chachma of the Heiliger Rav. That was like above all. That was like the Chachma of the Heiliger Rav.
Okay.
There's a bit of a machlekes between the Imenayim and the Rav Vidaver, his brother. Like a Rebbe machlekes. It wasn't really a machlekes, but they had tremendous respect for each other. And the Imenayim had an inyan that he would speak always very highly of himself. Very big about himself. And the Rav Vidaver didn't do that. He always talked about his shiflas and how he's a nothing and how he's a nobody. But the Imenayim always used to talk big about himself. So one of the ma'isim, which brings this out, there's a few ma'isim like that. Once, the Minayim, he created a minig for himself that he would give a drasha before Kol Nidre. Not something which his father did, or his Eda did, or even his children didn't do after him. And once before Kol Nidre, he said to the Olam, he said to the Tzibur, "Do you have any idea how many nights I'm tearing up my sheets, I'm tearing up my covers, that Hashem should accept me in my tshuvas, that I should do tshuva?" By the way, whenever the ma'isim, these are ma'isim which my Rebbe was mekabel from his Rebbe, which is the Rav, which he was mekabel from, which these go back to the source of these stories. I don't say it with the same precision as my Rebbe, unfortunately. But my Rebbe, he says it over exactly where he heard it from the Rav, even with the same motions which he heard it from the Rav. Meaning the Messiah on these stories are so strong, they come back to the actual people who it happened from. My Rebbe heard it from his Rebbe many, many times. There's inyan to tell over the same story many times. I don't do that here. Maybe tonight we'll also repeat one, but we're always talking about different tzaddikim, so we don't always have the chance to do so. But there's inyan to hear stories of tzaddikim always, always, always. Same stories, even to repeat them. It's not just to hear new stories, it's to be mechazik them. The stories bring down hashpoz tovos. So that's what he said. He said, it was this lashon. I say that because I'm not just making it up. Like these are the lashon, is what he said. Do you know how many nights I spent tearing up my sheets in my bed that Hashem should be makabel me in tshuva? That's what he said to the tzibur. And then he said, if me, kol shekein you. That's what he said to the oilam. If me, then for sure you. So word got back to the Rav Vidaver that his brother said that. He wasn't happy about it. So the next time they saw each other. So he said, "Oh, shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem." So the Rav Vidaver said to him, "You just you and kol shekein them." That's all he said. You and kol shekein them. Who says? He says, "Maybe you and not them. Maybe you and not them." So the Minayim replied to his brother. He said to him, he says, "What do you think, that I'm a fool? You don't think that I know about myself that I'm the lowest person in the world, that I'm the lowest person in this chassidus? I know that I'm the lowest person. The reason why I talk like that, because I'm a Rav. And a Rav has to be mechazik as oila. So I said it that way because it's a job as a Rav. I'm the Rav of the town. I have to speak to the tzibur that way. But don't you think that I think that I'm a fool? That I don't know that I'm the lowest person in the town?" That's what he said. So my Rebbe, so his Rebbe, the Sechina Rav, his father, they called the Alter Rav. So the Alter Rav said, "I knew my uncle very well." Because the Alter Rav was the son of the Rav Vidaver, and his uncle was the Minoyim. He said, "I knew my uncle very well." He was very close with his uncle, the Minoyim. And he said about the Minoyim, about his uncle, he said, the reason why he spoke like that, so big about himself, was because he had such a lev nishbar. He had such a broken heart in front of Hashem, that if he wouldn't say these things about himself, he wouldn't be able to continue. We have no hasaga in that, because we think, like, you know, it's not in our world, b'chlal. But he said he had such a broken heart, you wouldn't even imagine the broken heart that he had. He had to say l'shoynes like this about himself, that he should be able to come back tomorrow and to be able to fulfill his job as a rav in the town. Mamash thought it was zero, zero, mamash, nothing. Another story like that is that, and actually to bring out the kesher which he had with the Imenayim, so the rav was... the sandik by the Rav was Imenayim. He was his sandik. And so by the bris of the Rav, so as a baby, the Rav was crying a lot. Crying, 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 and he wouldn't stop crying. So the Imenayim was sitting on the chair, and he was waiting to be the sandik. So he said, "What's taking so long?" So he said, "Oh, the baby's crying, and it can't stop to cry. So you can't do the bris while the baby's crying." He says, "What, the baby's crying?" He says, "Bring him here." He said, "Bring him here." He puts him on the lap of the Imenayim. He takes his talus, and he covers his eyes, and the baby stopped crying right away. And he says, "What? The baby's crying? Who said the baby's crying?" But it's done. So, once, the Imenayim once said to his mother, after the patir of her husband, could be getting that wrong though, but this is for sure true. He once said to his mother, "Did you ever think you would have a son so great as me?" He said, "Such a big son like me." So she was a sharp woman, so she says, "With a father like you had, you should have been much bigger." And Menahem then said, he says, "Ah, I'm bigger than my father." So he said, I'm bigger than my father. I'm bigger than my father. But the Rav said he needed to do this. And Amish, we can't have no asaga Amish. He needed to do that.
He was 6'4 and his father was 6'2. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. About this machlekes, so once there was a chassid who lo aleinu, he lost a few children, and then he had one remaining son, and that son was also very sick. And this chassid was a chassid of the Rav Vedaver, and he was passing through the city of Jikov, and the Imenayim was buried there, and the father of the Imenayim and the Rav Vedaver, Rav Elazar Jikover, was also buried there. So he thought he should go daven by the cave of Rav Elazar Jikover in order to for the health of his son. But then he said, but really the Imenayim is buried there, and the Imenayim has a machlekes with my Rebbe. So he thought to himself, maybe I shouldn't daven there because it's a machlekes. That was the thoughts of the chassid. So he said that night he stayed in Jikov, and the Imenayim came to him in a dream. The Imenayim said to him, he says, "You shouldn't worry about davening at the kever. You shouldn't worry by davening by my kever." He says, because recently, my brother, the Rav Vedaver, who was younger than Imenayim died first, obviously. He says, recently my brother in Yiskar, he mentioned me in Yiskar. And I had a lot of hana from the fact that he mentioned me in Yiskar. And he was margish my hana. So don't worry about the tension between us. You should go and you should daven by the kever. And Amir Tashem, your son will have refuah shleima. So he did. And he went and he davened there. He took it as a chalei memes and he went and he davened there. When he went back to Rav Vedaver, so he walked into the house of the Rav Vedaver, and as soon as he walked in, the Rav Vedaver said to him, "It's a good thing that you davened by the kever of my brother. Because recently, I mentioned him in Yizkar. And he had a lot of hana. And I was margish, he had a lot of hana. So it's a good thing that you went and you davened by his kever." L'maisa, that son lived. And the Alter Rav used to tell over the story, and he used to... One of the grandchildren of that person who survived was sitting at the table, like the son of that person, and he pointed and he said, and from that whole ma'isa came this tachshit, it wasn't like a, you would think like a ma'isa like that, that the son who survived would be like this grace tzaddik, right? Then he was a very pashat person, so like he kept us and he would say like from this ma'isa came this tachshit, like, you know, it's like, not a big deal, you know. The Menayam. So, once he was with his father, Blazer, and they heard dogs barking. And as soon as they heard the dogs barking, Blazer Jikover got very, very scared. And then very, very scared of the dogs. So the Menayam understood that something was going on here. He's afraid of dogs. So he asked his father. And his father told him that, "I think I'm not afraid of the dogs." He says, "Chazal say that before Gehenna, that a person before he goes into Gehenna, there are these dogs which bark very, very loudly. And there's a bigger pachad of those dogs than there is from the whole Gehenna. So when those dogs bark, I think to myself about going to Gehenna and about the dogs. I'm thinking about that." So he said to his father, he said, "Tata, you think you're going to Gehenna?" He says, "Aren't you Mekayim Shalosh Shuddis every week? And it says in the Gemara, a person who's Mekayim Shalosh Shuddis, he doesn't go to Gehenna." So his father told him, he says, "That's true. But that's only true if you're Mekayim Shalosh Shuddis Barabim. If you do it in your home, by yourself, it's not true." So after his father told him that, he never missed a Shalosh Shuddis in public. Never, ever missed. But his brother, Rav Vedaver, didn't. He would sometimes, he wasn't makbid on that. So they asked him, "Why not?" So he says, "Because my father told that to him, he didn't tell it to me." Bechlal, like the Rashutzer children, they were big pachdanim. They were very scared. They're scared by nature. The Menayam, that he would go on a little spazier after mincha every day, and he would go on a wagon, and it came to like a certain corner where like the wagon had to turn a very sharp turn. Every day he would get off the wagon because he was afraid that it would tip over, and then he would go, and then he would get back on. It wasn't that, you know, Stami had a teva to be a pachtan, and that could be true too. But he writes in the Sefer Minayim that a tzaddik, he's never sure about his life because he's always considers himself to be a bal chayv to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He has a lot of chayvus to Hashem. Because he sees himself as a bal chayv, so he's very nervous. He doesn't know. He doesn't see himself as a tzaddik, like everything's going to be good. He sees himself always as a bal chayv. He writes it, but he doesn't write about himself, but it's clear that he's talking about this in here. And we mentioned before that the Divrei Chaim and the Minayim were mechutanim. There was a bit of a machlekes between the Divrei Chaim and the Minayim about a certain inn, a psak, and created a little bit of a rift between the Divrei Chaim and the Minayim. Again, but you have to understand these Rebbeshe machlekes, they have to do with the Inyanim and the Oilemis. So the Minayim, it got to the point, he didn't know whether he would even attend the Chasana. He didn't know if he would go to his own son's chasana because of the machlekes. So he didn't know what to do, and his sons were convincing him to go. How could you not go to this to your son's chasana? So he didn't know what to do. So he had a son, the Minayim. His name was Rav Naftali Chaim, one of his sons. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. Basically, he didn't want to be rebbe. Nothing to do with any rebbishkeit. He picked up and he moved to Yerushalayim, and he was like secluded himself. He was a very interesting person. Very interesting person. He had like Gili Rech HaKadosh all the time, but he was a loner. Like he didn't. I don't think he maybe even married. No, he did marry, but he was completely by himself, secluded himself. Very interesting stories about him. So he didn't know what to do. The Minayim, whether he should go to Chasana or not. All of a sudden, he gets a letter in the mail from his son, Rav Naftali Chaim, in Eretz Yisrael, and it says in the letter like this. He wrote very cryptically. He says, "Mar li mar, mar woe to me, woe to me." He says, Klal gadol, hakol asay, everything you should do, aval pnei tzanz lo yira. We should not go to tzanz. Whatever you do, you should never go to tzanz. That's what he wrote in the letter. So the Minayim saw this, and it was like the perfect timing because it had to do with like what was going on. So the Imechem goes, oh, you see, my meshugana in Eretz Yisrael knows better than all of you. So he said, meshugana in Eretz Yisrael knows better than all of you. You have to understand, like, they didn't mean that. You have to take these stories, you know, the right way. What I mean. So he decided he wasn't going to go to the Chasana. And so he sent a shliach instead. The Divrei Chaim went to go out to greet. He heard that the Divrei Chaim was coming. The Minayim was coming. He went out to go greet him. Turned out he held the hand. He could hard to see the Divrei Chaim. And he realized it was just a shliach and it wasn't. So he said, Azoy Vait. I mean, the machlekes between us is so big that he's not going to come to the Chasana. He couldn't understand why he wouldn't come. So before that, he sent his son, the Beit Sherav, who was the Chassan, he sent him with a shlichas to go tell his future father, the Vichayim, the following thing. Again, you have to understand, the Rebbe's stories are you have to understand, they're very tifa stories. See, he sent a shliach, I see Josh is very confused about these stories. So he sent a shliach to the Vichayim, with his future son-in-law, who was saying the following thing, tell your father-in-law, that I'm not afraid of him. That I'm not afraid of him because I never did an Aveira. That's what he said. I never did an Aveira. So he was very scared to go tell his father-in-law that the Divrei Chaim came back. So he said he was pacing back and forth in the room. He didn't know what he was going to do. How can he tell this to the Divrei Chaim? And his father told him, Shlicha, what's he going to do? So he said, the Divrei Chaim saw that he had something to say. So he had no choice and he said, he went like, my father, he's not afraid. He didn't know what to say. He just like, said the words, my father, he's not afraid. That's all he could say. So he never did a chait, like something like that. So the Divrei Chaim says, what? Never did a chait? It's not true. I don't believe it. Ain't tzadik waras sharia shatar lechata. It's not shaykh that a person shouldn't do any chataim. It's not possible. Oh, what he means that he's a good to yid? He's a good to yid? What's the big deal if he's a good tiyid? There's lots of good tiyids. A good tiyid means somebody who has never had pagambris. That's what they call themselves, a good tiyid. A good tiyid means a good Jew. But it means somebody who's very careful in shmiras abyss, that he never was chayte ever in shmiras abyss. That's iminayim. But he's a good tiyid? Okay, so he's a good tiyid. It's fine. I'm also, you know, lots of good tiyid. We'll talk about his p'tir in a second. I'm compensating for the time. I forgot to bring the Tana de Eliyahu, so it's going to be for both. Once, when they were at the end of his life, he said a Torah, that to take me, Yaakov says, yes, you've taken me out of Mitzrayim and bring me and bury me in by where my father is buried. And he said on this that there's a heter in halacha that a person can be transported and moved to a different place on two conditions. One, if he's buried amongst Gaim and he wants to be buried amongst Yedin, or two, if he wants to be buried with Bekivri Avos, where his forefathers are buried. So he said, that's Pshan Pasuk, that Yaakov says to Yosef, take me out of where the Goyim are, that's heter number one, and bury me amongst my forefathers, because that's also a heter. So he said, for the whole year before he passed away, he would say this Torah a lot. And whenever he would see people, he would say, did you hear about my Torah? Did you hear about my Torah? And it wasn't like such a big Torah. He said, Mamish, take a look at an Imre Noyim. Take a look just one time at Imre Noyim and see the Torahs, which he says, the Ramazim and the Kabbalah and the Gematrias, and see this much. He said, did you hear my Torah? So the reason why that happened, because it's the year before he passed away. And that's exactly what happened. We'll talk about that in a moment. His whole p'tira was a keem of this maisa. His mama, he knew exactly what would happen with him. And before he passed away, he once asked the Gabbai, he says, bring out the mayon, bring out the carrots. So the Gabbai said, all the carrots are spoiled, but soon there's going to be new mayon. There's going to be new carrots. So the Imanim says, oh, you better have a shy. He said, oh, did you hear what he said? And he said, what did he say? He said, there's carrots. The carrots are spoiled. There's going to be no carrots. He says, no. He said, what he said is that the Meir is old. His name was Meir. He says, Meir is old. But soon there's going to be a new Meir. It's going to be a new Meir. Who that was actually his grandson. His grandson was the Imre Chaim from Vizhnitz. As I told you, his son-in-law was the Avos Yisrael. And his son was the Imre Chaim. So he already saw that there was going to be a new Meir. So he says, you hear what he said? This Meir is old, but there's going to be a new Meir. It was like a nechama, but he understood that his time was up. The Maisa with his Ptira is a fascinating story. So, when he became very sick in his last year, and with the doctor's recommendation, he told him to go to the city of Carlsbad, where many people would go for refuahs, and they had springs there. And he very much didn't want to go. And he put up a big fight with his children. And he told them, if you want to hear from me this year, Malchias, Echonis, and Shoifers, you won't take me to Carlsbad. He said, if you want to hear my Malchias, Echonis, and Shoifers this year, don't take me to Carlsbad. So they ended up tricking him. They tricked his father about some trains and this and that, but they really thought that he had to go. The doctor said he should go. And then he realized that he was on the train, he was going to go. And he was very, very tzabrachan about that. He didn't think that it would be good for him. And he said, well, you give me no choice. You're forcing me to go. He said, the train was stopping off in I think it was in Babavar. I don't think it was, the Babavar Rav was there. Shlomo Babavar was a nephew. The first Babavar Rav was a nephew of the Meinayim. And he held very much the Babavar Rav in very high esteem, his nephew. So he said, let me go ask the Babavar Rav what we should do, whether we should go to Carlsbad or not go to Carlsbad. So they got off the train. And they go to the house of the Shlomo Babavar. And he says, no, should I go or should I not go? So he says, Shtein Shachan Aruch, if the doctor tells you to eat on Yom Kippur, you should eat. So if the doctor told you you should go, you should go. So he accepted that. And as soon as he got to Carlsbad, everything took a turn for the worst. Mamash, like right away. It happened to be, and he was nifter. He was nifter on a Tuesday or on a Wednesday. It was on a Wednesday. He was nifter.
The following day, he got to Carlsbad on Tuesday, and it was nifter on Wednesday.
So Reb Shlomo Babavar said that and towards the end of his life, he was nifter out of the town where he lived. And he thought to himself, what avera did I do that I shouldn't be nifter in my hometown? And he attributed to this, that because he gave the eitzah to the Minayim to go to Carlsbad, that's why he had to midikin again midah, he was nifter also away from his hometown. So the ptira took place on a Tuesday. No, it got on a Tuesday. It took place on a Wednesday, and the way that he passed away was as follows. He says that he was smoking his pipe. He was smoking his pipe, his lulka, and the Rav came over to him in Carlsbad, and he said to him, maybe you should say something now, as if to say, maybe you should say vidoy, right? Because he said maybe you should say something now. So the Minayim says, what should I say? Shoshanas Yaakov? Should I say Shoshanas Yaakov? That's what he said. As if to, but what he was saying was like he never did any chatayim, so he had nothing to say vidui for. That's why he wasn't going to say vidui because he never did any chatayim. Watch that. It's the Sheish Shishan Yaakov. So then they asked him, "What should we name your sefer?" So he said, "You should name it Imrinayim." He said, "What should we name your Shalos and Tshuva Svarim?" He said, "You don't ask a good to yid such questions." So he said, "You don't ask a good to yid such questions." He was smoking his pipe, and his pipe fell out of his mouth, and he passed away like that. Mamish, talking about tzaddikim, no asaga in Mamish in the Anganim. So he was nifter on that Wednesday, and they didn't want to bury him in Carlsbad. They wanted to bring him and to bury him in Jikov, but it was a long journey to go from Carlsbad to Jikov very quickly, and they sent messengers that they were going to come and to have things ready. When they got there, it was Erev Shabbos. It was very close to Shabbos, and they didn't know whether they'd be able to bury him in time before Shabbos. So they said that they would try, and if they had to stop in the middle, then they would pick it up on Matzah Shabbos. So they were, the Banav Rav said, he says that they were digging and digging, and then they were burying him, and it was so close to Shabbos. He says, "We mamish saneis shemesh begivayim daim." The sun mamish stood up the whole time. They kept looking at the sun. If it was setting, it was mamish at the top of the sky the entire time. And he says that as soon as they finished burying him, and they closed up the caver, he says all of a sudden it was pitch black. It was in the middle of the night, and they left everything there and they walked back to the city. And they said that even though it was a very long journey from Wednesday to Friday, and it was hot, it was in the summer. It's Thomas. He says that when the doctor inspected the body before it had to be buried, he says the body was perfectly intact, as if he was still alive. The Rav said that there was like a little knetch in his nose. That was it. Other than that, he was 100% shalom. Mamash 100%. And what they had noticed the entire time that when they were going from Carlsbad to Jikov is that there were two birds who were flying, who were with them, who accompanied them on the journey the entire time. There were these two birds. Everywhere they went, there were two birds, as if they were like leading the Aron to come back to Jikov. So the Ratzvedaver, his brother, said about those birds, those weren't regular birds. One of them was my Zayda, the Rafshitzer was one bird, and the other one was my father, a Blazer. And they were leading, they were escorting the Menayim, they were escorting their son and their grandson to come to be there.